Good morning. Today I'm going to talk about family-based mapping of quantitative threat loci in using linkage and association approach on behalf of our team. Basically, the objective of my project is we want to validate family-based mapping approach to use plant breeding family. That's commonly in every breeding program. And use the validated approach to map new QTLs that are important. And we used this method to map QTLs. We are using this method to map QTL for Fusarium head blight. But I will not present detail about the second objective. Basically, we selected scab resistance due to its economic importance. And we have some QTLs that been well characterized as we talked, the previous presentation talked about the QTL that's well known and validated in different studies. So we want to use a reference that's already have good, it's not false negative, false, that's already established, so that we can know that our approach is working. And the scab disease is very economically important. If we can get some new QTLs, then it's useful for other purpose. So it's twofold. Basically, the approach is based on using families that are developed in breeding program. We used two type of families. One is three-way derived, like this one, and another is four-way derived. The basic important thing is we are generating, segregating material for the QTL of our interest. For this, we have included resident parent in grandparent generation. So in both three-way and four-way crosses, there is at least resident source so that we can generate segregating generation that have QTLs segregating, and we can tie up with the markers. We developed 82 families of family size 9 using SUMI3 derivatives with a confirmed FHB1 gene in them, and we crossed with 46 susceptible genotypes in different combinations. That makes 82 families. Basically, phenotyping and genotyping were just conventional, and we discussed about type 2 resistant, which is most prominent. So we selected this, and we have observation twice, 41 days after inoculation and 21 days after inoculation. The basic point I want to highlight is data analysis. We use linkage-based approach and association-based approach. They are basically commonly used in human genetic studies. So it's a sort of, they have family type of inheritance studies. Linkage-based approach, first one is variance component-based approach. That's basically partitioning our variance into variance contributed by the QTL of interest and other QTLs or other QTLs, then family variance due to family background effect, or families may be grown together, so they may have family effect, and whatever rest is environmental effect. And we used this software that's used in humans. Another approach was pedigree-wide regression. It's a little bit different than commonly used regression approach that is based on IBD sharing between individuals and uses the sum of square and sum of difference in phenotype, and that will regress with IBD value to find out the linkage. Third approach is association approach, which is a little bit different from other just commonly non-association approach, like using independent germplasm or case control studies. That's family-based association. So it's association testing based presence of linkage. So we use quantitative transmission disequilibrium test that basically tests the transmission of alleles from parents to their offsprings. In that way, we can know the association of certain alleles in families. The results show that the QTL of our interest, that is FSP1, was pretty in the position where it's expected in both of linkage-based approaches, which is consistent with the other studies. As we talked earlier, it's already fine mapped and we know the position quite well. Another part of the study was association mapping, and the results show that the markers, if we look at those markers, the markers that are close to the QTL of interest are showing high association in terms of quantitative transmission disequilibrium tests. So these red alleles are from resident parents that have very high alleles, but we have found number of alleles. But these are like up to 7 alleles, but tested one have more than 30 individuals that can be tested in the cell. Another part was to reduce the genotyping load. We tried for selective genotyping in family-based approaches, and we selected top and bottom 20% of the phenotypic distribution of all the families, and it seems green lines are the selected ones and red are without selection. It seems that selective genotyping even works, although there is some reduction in some cases in load score. Then we began to ask how many families to use, what should be family size, and for different marker density, and what type of families are advantageous. We have some simulation studies using this software. The results show that it's obvious that if we increase number of families and number of individuals within family, means family size, will increase the power. But the important thing is whether we increase family number or family size, then we try to make the total individual constant and try to variate number of families and family size. Here, if family size is very high and number of families is very low, then the power is high. And if the reverse is if number of families is high and family size is lower. So it seems that if we have large larger families, then we have more chances of detecting QTLs. Similarly, we compare whether it's advantageous to have three-way crosses or four-way crosses, or what will be better way. It seems that as much complex pedigree is, there is more power. So with this, the method has advantages of high speed, because we are going to use the breeding material in itself and early generation breeding materials, and it took like 20 months to do the mapping work that we did, but it may vary. So it's a little bit speedier. More importantly, we are doing mapping at the same time we are testing in different backgrounds, so that it will help to validate whether the QTL works in different genetic backgrounds or not. At the same time, we can select those individuals that have the alleles of our interest, so it's marker error selection. So we did selected some individuals based on our data, and it's already on the breeding program. So we can practice marker error selections at the same time. At the same time, we're generating breeding materials. So it's a single step. Although there may be some disadvantage, like QTL to be detected may require substantially expressed in many genetic backgrounds. And we think, but we did not test, but it may be very useful in perennial crops with non-pedigree history or in clonally propagated crops that allowed replication. Finally, I would like to thank the funding agencies, USDA, through US SCAB Initiative, Wheat Commission, Experimental Station, and other support, logistic support agencies. With this, I'll take questions. Thank you very much.